Mr. Audrey Wong, can you tell me how you came to join the Long Range Desert Group in the first place, please?
Well, when we was drafted abroad as a volunteer in 1943, we arrived at Egypt, Port Said, Egypt, and went to Ismaili along the Nile, and we tried to get into our own unit in the 1st Battalion of the Sussex, which was already in the 6th. We look at the order boards and what have you, and the volunteers wanted for the Long Range Desert Group. Three or four of us decided to do this. And away we went.
Do you know which month this was in 43, approximately?
No. It would be the end part of 43, but I can't remember the exact date.
What prompted you to volunteer to join it?
Well, there was so much going on there with in Ismaili with the parades and bands and what have you, and we'd gone out there to fight. We hadn't gone out there for that, so we said we'd if we can't get in the 1st Battalion, which was full up of the Sussex, we'll volunteer for something else. And we volunteered for the Long Range Desert, and we passed just like that, and we got in. And we was sent off to a place just the other side of Haifa in Palestine.
You say you passed just like that, but what was the procedure for getting in? Was it an interview or what? Did you have to have an interview to get into Long Range Desert Group?
I can't exactly remember the exact procedure of it, but they said there was volunteers wanted for that unit, and it was just agreed on like that.
Did you know what the Long Range Desert Group was before you volunteered
no,
for it?
No, no.
So you didn't really know what you were letting yourself in for?
No, no. But we knew it was a fighting force. We learnt afterwards that the procedure. And once we got in the unit, we learnt the experience, what they'd been through, the desert. And the operations was going to be different because we were going through the Balkans then.
What did they tell you about the unit? What were the first things that they ever told you about the units when you joined? I mean, did they paint a picture of what it was, its role was supposed to be?
Oh, yes, 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 I see what you mean, yes. It was all under sort of secret, and you would have to be able to do this and do that and work individually or in pairs or... And we was all for it. Well, we did part training, but was already trained soldiers, so they... We carry on training then. Well, the first thing then, we did have a lecture from, it must have been David Lloyd Owen, that there was going to be a change of plans, and what they'd done in the desert, a change of plans going across to Italy or Greece, that we would have to do either bolting, mountain climbing, skiing, and parachuting. Well, the first thing we did was the parachuting, which we did in 3 or 4 days. We did our 7 jumps and passed out A1 and everything. All the unit did it. And the next one was skiing, which we went up to Syria. And learnt skiing. Some got knocked out. I did for a little while. Busted ankle and didn't finish the course, but at least you could get going on them. Bolting, we did the bolting, all different kinds of bolts where you probably have to be dropped from a destroyer inland on a small boat and operate that way under sort of darkness and quiet and what have you.
Was there any part of the training that you didn't like?
No, I enjoyed every part of it. In fact, after being in the other units, it was great. And we was, even my mates that I went in with, we was all enjoying it. There was no bull. Shall I put it dead straight? There was no bull. You went out there as a fighting force and you used your own initiative and you worked as a team and everything. You weren't told to do this and do that. You did it automatically as trained soldiers.
So and you didn't have any kind of nonsensical duties that you had?
Oh, no.
In Sussex?
Oh, no. That's what we was trying to avoid. That was the whole thing of joining it.
And were you put into some subunit of the Long Range Desert Group? Which particular part of the Long Range Desert Group were you put in?
Well, they was actually reforming from the desert in, I can't remember the name, but it was about 30 or 40 miles outside of Haifa. They was reforming for the sort of Balkan warfare, Italy and Greece and what have you. And so we understood that. So that's why we did this other training for bolting, as I said earlier, parachuting. You'd be able to do anything like that.
But did the Long Range Desert Group have separate troops?
Well, we was just put in sections for a start off in the you worked sort of together and whatever in the camp there, and then the next thing was we was going to be moved to Italy. They wasn't going to operate from near Haifa, so. Italy was the next job. We just trained and about there at the time, and then when we got to Italy, we had to make camp there.
When did you move to Italy? Can you remember
about? I'm not sure about the dates of that, whether it was that same year or just after the early 44. I can't. The memory just won't let me get back to that. Whether it was just before Christmas or just after.
And how did you get to Italy?
We went back to Portside and by ship to Naples, which I think there was something went wrong. We should have landed at in southern Italy. But we finished up at Naples and went from Naples by train back to meet all the rest of the transport and gear and what have you. And then we went to and made camp at a place called Rodi.
Rodi?
Rodi.
How do you spell that?
I think it was R-O-D-I. Rodi. I'm not sure whether there was H in it or not, but I think it was R-O-D-I.
What was there there? A tented camp or what?
Just a tented camp. And then that was where the reformation came. I was under Captain Maxwell for a start in a patrol. Then,
did that patrol have a special name, or was it just Maxwell's patrol?
No, I'm not sure about whether it was M1 or M2, but then it was reformed and we had a new skipper. We called all officers skippers, and it was reformed, and we come up under Captain Greenwood, which I think was made major. Ashley Greenwood, and we trained under him then, and we operated with him different places up into the front line and what have you. And it was all under training as well. And then it come to the day, 13th or 14th of June 1944, we was called for operation. And we had to go by parachute then.
This was just after the capture of Rome?
No, before the...
Because Rome was captured at the beginning
of
June.
That's right, yes. Yes, that's right, yeah, because I remember the skipper saying, he said, we'll have a drink when we go back. And we went about 100 miles north of Rome where we operated when we was captured. But I remember Ashley Greenwood saying, we'll have a drink when we wander back and go through Rome. So that you're quite right there. Yeah.
So this was a parachute drop behind enemy lines.
That's right.
Whereabouts was were you to be dropped, do you know?
I can't remember the name of the place, but we knew it was roughly 100 miles north of Rome.
And what date in June did you say it was?
Either 13th or 14th.
And who was to do this operation? Which units were to take part?
Well, there was two patrols went that night, but I don't know which was the two, whether it was M1 and M2 together, but different places, of course, from what I could understand.
And
we had no details of the operation until we landed. The skipper had the briefing of what we had to do when we got there, so I can't tell you what was going to be done.
What kind of planes did you go in? Can you remember?
Dakota.
And where did you get into the Dakotas?
Fodger Aerodrome.
Do you remember how many Dakotas there were that you all got into? How many of them?
Our section went in one. Just the one, as far as I can remember.
How many men were in a section?
Eight. Section is patrol. Patrol, not a section. They call it a patrol. You was a patrol. You're skipper, sergeant, other ranks, and signalman.
And so Ashley Green...
Navigator...
Ashley Greenwood was the skipper in charge of the act.
He was in charge of the act.
Do you remember the names of any of the others in the eight?
Yes.
The eight?
Ashley Greenwood, Sergeant Harrison, I can't remember all the sergeant, but Burgess was the navigator. Bleasdale, he was from the Royal Corps of Signals, he was the signalman. There was a chap called Ford from Manchester, myself, Lord. I've got a six, I can't, we've tried to place the others two, but we've just, and
Sergeant Harrison is a Yorkshireman, is he not?
That's right, he comes from Selby now. He lived in York. I met him last year, last October.
And what equipment did you take in the plane with you? What weapons did you have?
Well, I think most of them had a pistol. Seven had a pistol and I took a Tommy gun. With two magazines, and the rest of the magazines was in the kit would be dropped by bulk.
You were the only one with a Tommy gun?
That's right.
And the others just had pistols?
Yes.
Seems very light armament.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, what are you going for? You know. I've told you that we was only brief that we was going on operation, and the skipper had got the... He'd been briefed on what we was going to do when we got there. What others... I can't remember what other armaments was dropped in bulk with our gear and everything.
Did you have grenades?
I think there was possible chance that there was grenades in the kit.
So you took off from Foggia?
That's right.
Was it at night time?
That's right, yes.
Well,
night time, yes. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, roughly, when we set out.
Were you all blacked up?
Pardon?
Did you have blacking on your face?
No. We just... Our KD long trousers and... AB64 part 2 and what have you... Part 1, sorry. You carry that and your disc. And your ammunition and small haversack, and then the rest of the gear was dropped in bulk.
What was in the haversack?
Well, just the normal things that were rations, you know, hard rations. And
were these American care rations?
Well, something like that. I would take it. Yeah, yeah. And then your water bottle. Full of rum instead of water.
Why was that?
You got to stick out. You're on your own, aren't you? You've got to have something to warm you up, haven't you?
So how long was the flight?
Can't remember exactly. It wasn't long. I mean, I know it was a moonlight night. And when we dropped, unfortunately, which if you read Lloyd Owen's book, or you read the newsletters, we was dropped 20 miles out of our, by the Americans, we was dropped about 20 miles off our beaten track. We had blown up photographs of exactly where we was going to drop, and we were near 20 miles away. You're lost. So it wasn't until early morning we found six of us found one another, and two was missing.
Before we come on to that, can you tell me about your own parachute drop? Did it go smoothly?
Yeah, pretty good. Yes, yes. We dropped in amongst the vine trees and corn in between and what have you, and landed okay.
Was it flat or hilly?
Well, as it happened, we was in the flat there.
And so you weren't injured on landing?
Oh, no. As we found one another and we gradually found one fell in a great big pond and got wet through in it. But you helped one another out and what have you... That's how it went on.
So once you landed, what did you do with the parachute?
Bury them. The first thing we did was bury all parachutes.
So you carried a spade with you?
Pardon?
Did you carry a spade with you to do the burying? Did you carry a spade?
Yes. There was absolutely hidden out of it, yes. And then,
did you start calling out for the others?
Oh, no, you don't shout out. We just wandered round. As we found one, two, and we got six together. But there was two missing, which was the name I mentioned earlier on, Ford, and Ashley Greenwood, the skipper. We couldn't find those. And then as I say, it was moonlight, but then when it came to daylight... early morning, we started to reconnoitre a little bit, and the navigator was going to check where we was and what have you, and all of a sudden we was spots the Germans right round us, coming in droves,
You were surrounded?
Was surrounded.
Were these German infantry?
Yes, yes, yeah. And of course then we said, well, the best thing now, we can't get out of this, is disperse. And I'd happened to bury your weapons, which I did. I buried my Tommy gun and what have you, and then crawled away from it, so you know where it is, and try and remember that where it is, and hope for the best.
Whereabouts did the Germans surround you? Was it in a village or in the countryside?
Well, there was a village near at hand, because when we was marched, it was only probably half a mile or so. So that must have been sort of a village, and of course we was under their guard, like, and you was just bundled in a house or whatever building and bundled all together, and then they brought the rest of the gear in.
So you said that when they surrounded you, you tried to crawl away. How far did you get before they caught you?
We just crawled away and hid up, because there was so many of them that you were. It was hopeless trying to get out, so it was just a matter of camouflage and hide yourself up. But there were so many of those Germans that they had every yard covered.
Was there any shooting at all?
No. It was just rouse and up, and up goes your hands, and that's it.
So that was everybody except Ford and Greenwood?
That's right.
How did the Germans treat you when they captured you?
Well, they just bundled it, as I say, into this building, and that's it, and put us all in one room. And the ruptures of... the haversacks was brought in, which was dropped by bulk and everything, and the rest of the gear. And, of course, they let us undo the haversacks then, where we had 200 cigarettes. Each one had all those, and took those, and when it come to my haversack, I'd got more Tommy gun magazines, which they knocked me flying, then said, out. Because they wanted the ammunition, didn't they? They took the ammunition and weren't going to let us have that. And I think there was grenades in my haversack as well.
So they hit you when
knocked you back, and then you, till they'd sorted it out, then they emptied it out, and you took what you wanted then, what bit of clothing you wanted, they let you have that. And then there was a bit greedy when they chucked us all in this room with your cigarettes, they started coming and taking them off you and what have you.
Did they take any other personal property from you?
Well, we don't know what they took out of the haversack. Only the cigarettes there was mostly interested in. And, of course, the ammunition, they wouldn't let us anywhere near. They took that away from us, of course. Then, after that, we was transported, which we just surmised at the time that we was right in the second line of defence, which appeared to be such a convoy going that they was moving, retreating back in Italy. Of course, one thing was on mind all the time was escape. But there was no chance, we was under guard too much. Before we left the village, in the officers, German officers, did question us who was from and where, what and what have you, but they only got the rank, name and number, and we finished up in Verona, north of Italy, and that's where they put us in the dungeons then.
What kind of dungeons?
Well, just like an old prison. He was underground and everything. He didn't know whether it was daylight or dark. And I'm not sure whether it was 24 hours or 48 hours. You lose track of time. And just brought you what they call tea, which you didn't want, because it was only mint tea. And then, as I say, after this spell, we was taken out.
What is it like in the dungeon? Cold and damp, or what?
That's right. Yeah, just old stone ice. We had those big, sort of, not a Wellington boot, but a lace-up boot, rubbery, used for quietness and plus strength. And that was your pillar, and just what you laid, what you had on, trousers and T-shirt, KD shirt, and you laid there. And as I say, after that period, they take us up and they put us in two, in was all individual cells, then they take us up to the top, put us in a nice room, sheets, blankets, lighting, warm.
This was in Verona?
Yeah, and made comfortable. And you was put two together. So we surmised that wanted you to talk then, but you didn't. You just put your finger up to your mouth and kept quiet. Can you... So we just put our hands, fingers up to our mouth and not to say anything. So you've got to be careful what you say, because we guessed the place was bugged. So we talk about anything bar the Long Range Desert Group. Then I think they interrogated us then. That was the next thing. And of course that was one at a time. It was absolutely stripped of everything. They tore your clothes out, off you. They didn't give you a chance to take your boots, everything. And you had to stand in front of, we looked about six officers which spoke fluent English. And they asked you questions, and all they could get was rank, name and number. We had a secret map sewn in our belt on our KD.